Hello, I'm T.S. Wright, founder and president of the God Center Concept and host of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. Our mission is clear. We are here to help spark a great harvest, a revival, if you will, across the United States. That's why we are launching the 2540 campaign. Over the next 40 days, we're going to ask people to join us, just like you, and to give a one-time tax-deductible gift of $25 and partnering us with this mission, and then sharing this vision with other people so we can expand our reach in powerful ways. God is calling us to work, and together we can see lives transformed and hearts awaken. You can simply scan this QR code or go to www.godcenteredconcept.com to make this one-time gift to our ministry. Thank you for being a part of this community. Your prayers and your support mean more than you will ever know. May God bless you in all that He calls you to do. And as we always say here, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth with the purpose of spreading revival. Now, your host, T.S. Wright. Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads. I am your host, T.S. Wright, and it is so great to have you guys back with us today. Well, we are back for another fun and exciting episode as we are getting ready to welcome somebody on here that I have actually interviewed on his podcast. And I closed him hard the last time to make sure he came on ours, because just our conversation flowed naturally. And I really wanted him to talk about his story. It is Rory Paquette. And Rory has he just has a great presence. And I wanted you guys to be able to hear that. And so, without further ado, I am introducing Rory to you right now. So, Rory, welcome to the show.
T.S., thank you so much for having me on and for the kind words. I really appreciate that. I don't think anyone's ever told me I had presence like that, so I appreciate you.
Well, hey, you definitely do. And I think with both of when we were both on the show, I think there was enough presence in the room for everybody. So it was definitely there.
For sure.
Yeah, and I certainly enjoyed our conversation on your podcast. And so now what I'm going to do is just turn the floor over to you and let you, you know, I really just talk to our listeners about your story, you know, really give them an understanding of your journey and how you got to where you're at and how the Lord's really worked in your life.
I appreciate that, brother. My story is probably like a lot of other people's. You know, it starts off pretty rough. You know, I'll keep some of that short, but, you know, I come from a pretty rough childhood, a lot of abuse, dad who really liked to lose himself in the bottle, you know, type of thing. And so, you know, he would do that and then, take all of his frustrations out on my mom and my family. And so, you know, my first sort of selfless act as a human on this planet was making sure that I ticked him off more than anybody else, so that he would focus everything on me and leave my mom alone. But I grew up like that, and I grew up with a lot of anger because of that. I grew up with a lot of frustration, that type of thing. But I also grew up with a big resolve that I wasn't going to be that way, and I was going to make sure that I had a family that broke that cycle. You know, it wasn't easy going through that with that as your mission. But, I was raised Catholic, by those parents. And so simply because my father, you know, was telling me that Catholic was the right way to go, I think I grew up almost with a resentment of God and the church, because it was something that was from my dad in that way. So when I broke away from him, I broke away from that also. And for a long time, I had a really rough relationship with God. Doubted a lot of things, didn't want to hear anybody talking about it, and really stayed angry about some of those things. But, you know, after so much time, God finds a way. And, you know, what I've realized, right, at this point, what I've realized is he was there the whole time. He was simply waiting for me to unclench my fist and my heart and open it up just enough, brother, for him to get in. And, you know, it took a lot to get there, but that's what happened. There's a lot more to the story, but I'll give you a chance to jump in.
Well, you know, and listeners have heard me say this. It comes down to surrender. And the visual I give people is that, and it's just the same as here, is that with one hand, we hold everything in our life open to God. And we take the other hand and we cling. Our fist should only, the only thing we should white knuckle is clinging to the cross. We don't white knuckle anything else. The only thing we have clenched is we're clinging to the cross and we hold everything else in our lives with an open hand. And it doesn't matter if it's your past, your future, your present, and any trauma, anything you've ever had in your life, it doesn't matter, good, bad, or indifferent. You hold it with an open hand to God and you cling to the cross. And so I like to give that visual, and I think that's totally relevant here. So, so Rory, talk to people now about kind of the part of the journey of you developing into what you do now.
Yeah, for sure. I hit a low point in my life. I built myself up, on that anger that I was talking about earlier. Sure. And, you know, then had a serious crash. And, you know, when God came back into my life, I started to really look at life different. You know, for a while I was bringing him in, things were going okay. You know, then life happens and you start to doubt things again. I'd say he probably gave me, you know, four or five different moments where I should have woke up and said, hey, I'm not living the life I'm supposed to be living, and I'm supposed to be serving him in a much bigger capacity. And I just kept missing them, man. You know, I was trying, thought I was hearing it and then I wasn't, but, you know, he finally got my attention, for the last time, a little over a year ago, when I almost died and I was in the hospital. I had pneumonia so bad that was just untreated for over a year because I wasn't going to stop working. And, you know, cause I had to do everything myself back then, but, I ended up walking into the emergency room and dropping right on the floor. As soon as I walked in the door, that was the last breath I thought I was ever going to take. And woke up later and, you know, after a 3-month ordeal of hospital and surgery, I came out. Doctor gave me about a 20% chance to live through the whole thing. And here I am. You know, still hurts. Amen. When the wind blows. You know what I mean? Right. Amen, brother.
Amen.
But, you know, still on that recovery path. But when I was in that hospital, with my wife, and it was just us. And I mean, you know, there's nothing else going on in there, man. You know, it's silent. You can't watch any more of whatever two TV channels they have on. And, you know, I couldn't read anymore and I didn't want to look at my phone. I'm like, you find yourself alone, with, you know, the person you love the most in the world. And you have conversations for the first time and you start to realize things for the first time. And my wife had always been close to God. And was waiting for me to wake up. And brother, I woke up hard. And since that moment, I decided I'm not doing anything I don't want to do anymore. I'm not helping, you know, any other company do anything for them. I'm doing what I've been called to do, and I'm going to find a way to serve him in doing it. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I got into, that got me into writing. Writing two books got me into podcasting. Podcasting absolutely took over, you know, my heart as something that I just love. And the moment I recorded my first episode, I knew God was watching. And he was like, okay, right now you're being called to help fathers and husbands who are going through the stuff that you went through. And this is your calling. This is what I want you to do. So that's what I did. And then as I went through that, it was almost like it wasn't almost like he was telling me, look, you learned this stuff for a reason. Now I want you to do this and build this community. So that was my second podcast. And then he finally said, you're ready. You're ready. And there is an issue and I want you to go deal with it. And so I started, you know, Wake Up the Lions, my third podcast, which is where I met you. Amen. And that has, if I needed any evidence that that was what I was supposed to be doing, the way that thing has taken off is not even funny. It's there's people all over the place dying to share their testimony, to shout out loud how much they believe in God and why and how, to share the testimony, talk about spiritual warfare in their lives, and to bring people in to open their minds to starting discipleship. And that's really the goal of the podcast that we're on now, when Wake Up the Lions. And that's really what got me where I am now.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Amen, brother.
The discipleship piece, of course, you know how I feel about that, as mm-hmm. we've discussed that in great depth the last time I was on, when I was on your show. And I just want to say this, is that I just commend you for staying the course, you know, and when, you know, because sometimes when tragedy strikes or we face things like you faced, you know, that can go one of two ways. It doesn't always go for some people, you know, they take it as to hold on to more bitterness, but
right.
you took it as letting God lead you and that you need to make that transition, that change, and literally living out Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I mean, God renewed yeah. you and you embrace that. That's embracing truth. That's letting your heart be cleansed. You know, that's the walk right there. And so, yeah. you know, for you listeners, you know, take that to heart. If you're struggling with anger, you're struggling with bitterness, you're struggling with these things, you know what? God can take that on for you, and he wants you to give it to him, and then he's going to transform your mind when you do, you know, and Rory's story is such a powerful piece of that. So Rory, here's another question. You know, you do this podcasting and man, you're helping people and you're doing that. You know, I guess my question is what are some ways, obviously, you know, you talked about letting people share their testimony. What are some ways that you help disciple other men? Because I know you alluded to that and we talked about that briefly before this podcast. And then the last time you gave me a little bit of that, but just talk about how you do that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, I don't have the hubris to think that I'm discipling men, you know, to be honest sure. with you. I have a very strong idea of where my calling is and at what part of the process I'm supposed to be interacting. So to fully answer that question, I really feel like it's my job to, you know, the title of the podcast, Wake Up the Lions. I really feel like it's my job to be the guy out front, holding the banner, waking people up. And I think it's my mission to make sure that people know that there are other folks out there who feel the same way, who have been told over and over and over to, you know, just tone down the God thing over and over again, you know, who feel like they have to come on a podcast and say, is it okay to talk about God here? You know, there are so many people who felt that way. And I got tired of it. And I asked my wife one night, I said, you know, why are so many people coming on my podcasts, multiple podcasts, and asking me this in the pre-interview? Is it okay? I'm like, why would it not be okay? And I said, this is wrong that this many people feel this way. And God honestly slapped me in the back of the head. I could hear it as plain as I can hear your voice, T.S. And he said, what are you doing about it? And I'm like, wow, you know what? I built this whole platform. I figured all this stuff out. I grew these podcasts for a reason. Amen. And it wasn't just to make money. It wasn't just to, you know, do this full time. It wasn't just to, you know, build my brand, you know, it was for a much bigger purpose. So my job in discipleship is to open people up to it. My job to build in discipleship is to say, hey, there's more. And it's okay to be afraid, but it's also time to stand up, and it's time to wake up the lions.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. I love your name. I mean, the Wake Up the Lions, and kind of what, with your angle, I mean, absolutely the perfect name. And
nice.
The fact that you're trying to awaken people to the truth. That's, that's such an important part. And folks, what I would tell you, and you've heard me say this before, discipleship must contain four components. Number one, you must embrace truth. Number two, it's cleansing the heart. Number three, fixing the eyes. And then four, carrying the message. However it's pieced together, if it does not have those four components, it's not discipleship. But what Roy's telling you is that he is the first part of this plan. He's a part of the first part, and that is embracing truth. And they are putting that out there through the power of testimony. Testimony is such a powerful way to carry your message. So in some ways, he's tapping into the last part too, and that's carrying the message. But it's embracing truth. And so when we embrace the truth of God, God's truth, not our truth, God's truth, because the world tells us to embrace your own truth. And you guys know how I feel about that. No, it's an absolute no. There's only one truth. It's from God through the power of Jesus Christ with the presence of the Holy Spirit in your heart. But that is it. And that is what Roy is telling you here. And so he's carrying that piece of it. So Roy, another question, and this just kind of hit me while I was talking. And what have you ever had any like testimonies that you've had maybe here recently that just jumps out at you?
Oh goodness, yes, I have, and I will tell you that to be honest, they all jump out at me. You know, in some That's way, awesome. Shape, or form, they really do. Amen. You know, even the most normal, mild, you know, almost run-of-the-mill, you know, testimony by someone else's standard. When you are talking to somebody, and you know this, you know, when you're talking to somebody in a podcast and you're connecting with somebody, you don't just hear their testimony, you feel it along with them. And it's amazing. I've talked to women who have lost children. I've talked to you know, women who have survived some really insane abuse. I've talked to people who've overcome addictions, and you know, it's gotten very real. It's you know, so much of it has hit home with me too, because of, you know, my upbringing and everything I dealt with, you know, having that history of abuse. And for me, every single episode is cathartic. Every single episode, I think, brings me closer to God, because when, and you know this too, when a person is set free to speak, to really put out there their testimony, to be able to say out loud, you know, this is me, this is how God came into my life, everything becomes real because they're saying it. And I've witnessed people, I'm getting a little choked up on this. I've witnessed people just on my show where you can tell they haven't said this out loud. Ever. Wow. They know this is their testimony. They believe it's their testimony in their heart and their soul. This is my testimony. But no one's ever said, give me your testimony. No one's ever said, stand up, speak into a microphone in this safe place that we call podcasting and Zoom meetings, right? Mm-hmm. And been able to just say it out loud. And when they say it, brother, it's like, it's becoming real for them in real time. And I just know that so many of those people leave the show wide open to God in a way that they may never have been before, simply because all I did was allow them a safe place to share. And it's amazing, to be honest with you. After every single episode, I leave and I sit back in my chair and I just go, wow. You know, and my wife looks at me and she's like, was that a good one? And I'm like, they're all good ones. Oh my gosh. You know? Cause I connect with it so hard. And there are times when you just can feel the Holy Spirit working, with the person you're talking to. And I'm just grateful that I get to be the one that said, hey, let's have this talk. And I encourage them enough and I'm supportive enough and I give them a safe enough space that they really can. Like I said, when you know when you can just tell that it's the first time they've been able to really do that, it's beyond rewarding. It's just amazing, brother.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Letting people have a voice, I think, is an important aspect of that. And, you know, that's the power of testimony, is they do get a voice in that. You know, I always find it interesting when I'm reading the stories in the Gospels, when Jesus is talking with people, the variety of situations and stories that we are basically given through the Gospels, and how Jesus uses each one to the power of the Father is amazing. I mean, it is amazing to me. And every person that I've ever heard a testimony from, I can somehow correlate with one of Jesus's stories from the Gospels. I find that fascinating. As you were talking about that, that's what hit me. And so for any of you listeners, if you have not, you know, you may have your studies that you're doing and all this stuff. And, you know, I know there's the Bible plan of getting through it in a year and all this stuff. I'm going to encourage you guys to slow down and stay in a section and just read it. You know, some of the wisdom that I give you guys on the show when you hear me speak about this stuff is because I have spent so much time in those passages that the Holy Spirit just dissected them for me in every way you can imagine. And the power of these stories in the gospel that Jesus had, Roy is giving you a testament to that on his podcast. And it's not even him speaking. It's all the people he's bringing on to speak. You know,
amen.
You guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have people on here too that share those same type of stories. I mean, I've got one on here that does Battle Cry Moms, and I bring her on once a month to share stories because she has a prayer network of all these kinds of stories. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean,
love her. Love her, man.
Yeah. You know her. Yeah. So we give her a spotlight once a month. She's awesome. And Deborah McNinch.
Yep.
And so she's got amazing testimony. Mm-hmm. And so that's just an example of all of that. And I've had other ones on here that are just wonderful, but I just love it. I mean, I love listening to that. And so, because I think it's such a, it really brings the gospel to life is really what it does. So, Roy, here's a question for you. Yeah. And this is a little bit of a pivot. Talk to us about your favorite, I don't want to say verse, because I like to read passages in the Bible, but kind of your favorite passage in the Bible and how it kind of just relates to what you do. You know, maybe not your favorite, but it's one that stands out that relates to what you do is probably a better way to phrase the question.
I love this question. And I've talked about this a little bit on my show. You know, it sounds almost trite because everybody knows this story, right? I'd love to be profound and say, oh, here's this little known passage and I love this one. But I love the story of David and Goliath. Absolutely love it. And not just because of, you know, what happens. So the little guy slays the giant, yada, yada. There's so much to that story that never gets told. If you ask anybody in the world, really, you know, hey, do you know the story of David and Goliath? Sure. Little guy, slingshot, big guy, little guy won. They all get it. They all know that basic thing. They have no idea everything else that went into that story. And the reason that I love that so much is because, you know, when I was younger, going through everything I was going through, that was one of those kids' stories. You know, I was in CCD class, you know, growing up. My mom actually taught it. I got the little coloring book version of David and Goliath, right?
Yep.
And it's one of those ridiculous moments, almost out of like, you know, an after-school special type of, you know, Hallmark movie, where there were too many times when I was hiding in the closet waiting for my dad to be done busting stuff. And that's one of the three things that I had with me. You know, I had my crayons. I had my one coloring book that I just kept on. I would draw stuff around it and keep coloring it, even when it was full. I colored the background. There was every inch of every page was colored because it was the one coloring book I wasn't going to let go of. And at the time, all I could think was that, you know, at some point I'm going to get out of this. At some point I'm going to be able to somehow survive this. And as I grew up and my anger took over, the David and Goliath story started to encompass me and my dad. And I felt like, you know, I needed to be David and somehow slay this Goliath, right? It wasn't until much later on that I It wasn't until much later on that I realized that I didn't have to slay the giant. I had to forgive him. Yep. And it was... It wasn't until that moment, you know, with when I survived the surgery that I really wasn't supposed to survive. It wasn't until then, talking to my wife and going over that stuff, that I realized that that was such a big thing that I was holding on to. There was no sling in the world that was going to beat that giant, you know. And in the end, it wasn't my dad that was Goliath. It was my hatred for him that was the threat. And God was the sling, man.
Amen.
And I had to drop that. I had to drop that. And it took my whole life. I mean, I was 54 years old before I dropped that. And I have not been the same since. And my wife, the reason I know that is because my wife has told me that I've never been like I am right now. More than
the wives are good barometers, aren't they?
Well, I'm telling you. Yeah, little Italian gal with absolutely no lion in her, man. She just she tells it like it is. So, but yeah, that's my story, brother.
Amen. Yep. You know, I love that compelling. I love that analogy and just kind of how you use that story to correlate the whole part of your testimony, because that is a popular story that people know. But I think. That thing with bitterness that you hit, that you're talking, that you kind of tapped on, because that's really what that is yeah. That I think that's something a lot of people struggle with. I mean, if you look, we have a lot of people that experience trauma from a variety of reasons. But I think bitterness has to be one of the most common issues that we as human beings struggle with. Because we get offended easy. We do. We just do. And especially when it relates to people that have been really close with us, because especially as a child, we have an expectation that we're going to be made safe. I mean, that we're going to have this safe place. And there's kind of that expectation. And it's also that vulnerability that we're going to be safe with these people that are parents that, you know, they're our protectors. But what we sometimes forget, and this is the hardest part, and it's part of that letting go, is that they're just human beings too, that are fallible just like we are. And they're just as fallible as everybody else, you know, because I mean, you remember this as a boy, you want to look up to your dad, you know, as a hero. You do. I mean, you almost idolize them,
right,
to a degree. And that's part of that honoring your parents. And, you know, that obviously dissipates as you go into adulthood. But, and that's just the normal process of getting your late teen years and all that. But I just have to say that because that bitterness thing and that letting go of that, I think that's such a, that's a thing that really encapsulates a lot of people, men and women.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you're vulnerable enough to share that, because I hope people are taking that to heart and really letting God examine their hearts to see if there's any bitterness in them, because that is not a fruit that we want to be producing, is bitterness.
No, not at all, man.
No, exactly. Because it's hard for God to use us when we have that. And so, you know, I have things that I've had in my life that I could easily hold on to and be bitter about, but you know, the Lord's ripped those out of me. And I say ripped, I am not kidding you.
Right.
So that's another conversation for another time. So Roy, just, yeah, exactly. we're getting close here, but one last question that I have for you is this. You've, you know, obviously you've had a lot of experiences with people and their testimonies. You know, maybe just talk a little bit about testimony itself. And if somebody's listening, what are some things they need to consider, you know, when they're looking at their own testimony?
Wow. Great question. You know, I think one of the things that people need to realize about their testimony is there's no right and wrong. I think that when people hear, I need to give my testimony, I think they like picture themselves, you know, in the pulpit.
Right.
Like I have to be able to give a sermon, or I have to be able to quote biblical verse. And you know, everybody's testimony is different, but I think that the thing that people need to understand about their testimony is that it's 100% them. And there is no right and wrong answer. You know, it literally is, how has God impacted you in whatever way it is? And what have you learned? How have you grown? What's gotten worse? What's gotten better? It's just your story to start with. And when you start telling your story and you include God in your story for the first time, the Holy Spirit will help you. The Holy Spirit comes and takes over almost and says and guides you through. This is your testimony. This is what you need to say. This is how you need to say it in order for you to get where you want to go. Because too many people treat everything, including your testimony, like it's a test and like there's a right and a wrong answer. Right. So I think that's the biggest thing that I would say for that. The final thing, if I can throw it in here, would simply be, it's so important that you start speaking your testimony, because even if the first time you do it, it's not really what comes out. It's okay. But you have to start. You have to start to open up. When you're, you know, the light can't get through a clenched fist. You have to open it up a little bit to let it in. God cannot get into your clenched heart. He just can't. You have to open it up to him. And then believe me, he's going to flood it with light and he'll be there for you. But you got to open up to it, man. And you got to start.
Amen. You know, and I encourage people to, and one of the things that I teach with testimony, and we'll throw this in here, is this journaling. Guys, journal.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Outline stuff, outline your testimony, and then write it out, script it, and take your time. Don't rush through it. You don't need to do that. And then, like Rory said, start speaking it. And sometimes through the speaking it, more pieces will come to you. And, mm-hmm. you know, and he alluded to that when he was telling you guys that. So every one of you has a testimony that are listening here today, and that testimony is powerful. And you don't know whose other lives you can change or reach or evangelize to through the power of your testimony. I tell people this, and I've done this for 30 plus years. And when I would disciple people, is this: people in their minds can refute the Bible, but you can never refute a person's testimony.
Amen. Absolutely.
Because the gospel comes to life inside your testimony. Rory, I could continue on like this for the next 3 hours and have this conversation with you. And certainly we're going to have some more conversations in the future. But if somebody is wanting to connect with you, your books, all that kind of stuff, podcasts, whatever, how would they do that?
The two easiest ways are to just use my name, and it's right there in the box, and it'll be in the show notes. It's all over the place. And you can email me at my name, rorypaquette@gmail.com, anytime about anything, or you can find me on Facebook, and that's where I do most of my work with, you know, my age group and demographic. It's kind of where I land. All of my podcasts are there. All the stuff I do is there. My family's there. And it's just my name, @RoryPaquette, right there. RoryPaquette, right there.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
I have loved this. This whole thing of testimony is just awesome. And of course, we're going to wrap up here, but we're going to include all this in the show notes and make sure all this stuff gets in there when we release this episode. And I just want to say thank you to everyone in the Kingdom Crossroads community for joining us today and with Rory and myself. And you've heard the power of testimony. If you haven't already, make sure you hit that follow, subscribe button. Give us a like, as it helps us to continue to bring great content to you guys, not only now, but in the future. On behalf of myself and Rory, I am T.S. Wright. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. I just want to give our big shout out this week to all the fine people who listen to us in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And we just want to thank you for your support and all that you do for the Kingdom Crossroads community and for the God Center concept, as you guys have been faithful witnesses and listeners to this program. And we just pray that for your community, we pray over your community and pray that you will continue to not only listen, but to help us spread the word about this message. We thank you so much and have a blessed, blessed week as we pray over you and pray that your community will continue to be blessed and that God will use you to fulfill all his purposes. Thank you again to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.